What's up, everyone? Tyler Dunn here at Go Long. Thank you so much for reading everything at golongtd.com and, of course, listening to the podcast here. I greatly appreciate it. Hey, you're going to love this episode. I brought on my good buddy Phil Perry at NBC Sports Boston, one of the very best that covers the team out there in New England. He gives a ton of insight on what Elliot Wolf is possibly thinking as the, I guess he's the GM, right? That's not his official title quite yet. But he is making the final call. It is his decision. Does he choose his quarterback? If so, Drake May, Jane Daniels, JJ McCarthy. We get into everything. Phil is great. You should definitely check out his work. Again, NBC Sports Boston. And as a reminder, Bob McGinn's 40th annual draft series will begin next week. 9 parts, every position. Extremely comprehensive. He's talking to scouts and execs around the NFL. And it is exclusive to Go Long paid subscribers, so make sure you upgrade if you're hanging out on the free list. And if you are a member to Go Long, we greatly appreciate you. Thank you so much for being a part of our community. Again, no ads, no sponsors, no corporate masters. We are powered by you, and we greatly appreciate that at golongtd.com. A fine time to subscribe with Bob Series. I'm going to have several player profiles with some compelling stories to share, and also a deep dive on the Chicago Bears set to draft Caleb Williams. What does it mean? We will explore. Thank you so much, everyone. Here is Phil Perry. Great Phil Perry. Good to see you, brother. NBC Sports Boston, the next Pats podcast, I believe.
That's
You're
right.
Omnipresent. You're everywhere. You write, you pod, you've got a face for TV and an opinion for TV. And one of the good guys, I must say, in sports media. Phil is just an awesome dude. It's always a pleasure to run into you at the Combine and whatnot. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. It's always great to be on with you. You give me so many wonderful compliments, but I am not winning awards left and right the way you are. So, like, I'll just say that I haven't been able to do that. So I'm still trying to keep up with you in that regard. First place, I have it right here because I tweeted you a congratulations. I was so excited.
Oh, thank you.
First place in the 2023 AP Sports Editors Contest in the Division C long feature category. I'm not doing that. That's you. So congratulations to you on that. Very well deserved. You're doing fantastic work on Go Long, as always.
Hey, extremely kind. As much as we'd love to just blow smoke up each other's ass, we got to get down to business. Yeah.
That's the podcast, right? Are we done now?
Right. That's it. That's it. We're going to sign off, you know, on this day that O.J. Simpson rots in hell. Maybe we just end right there, right? On a high note. We can say that, right? Yeah, he's guilty. All right, the New England Patriots are picking number 3. And I imagine you've discussed this selection quite a bit with your cohorts there, Tom Curran, another A-plus human being in this business. But I want to start at the start. The New England Patriots, I think you hear the name, you think Bill Belichick, you think Voldemort and gloom and doom, and it's dreary and nobody says anything. You know, with Gerard Mayo and Elliot Wolf in charge, like what is the feeling out there in Foxborough? Is the air just, is it clearer? Do things just smell rosier? Are people more open? I mean, Elliot was great at the combine. I think he said more about the draft process for the Patriots in like 10 minutes than Bill Belichick said in 20 years.
Oh, there's no question about that. Bill Belichick wouldn't even meet with the media at the combine, like, because it's not required. You don't have to do it. So that in and of itself was a win and like eye opening for us. Oh my, oh wow. The guy who's going to have final say on the roster, it can actually speak during the combine and speak with some, authority about what they're going to try to do. And so it's been a little bit different. I will say it's not like rainbows and unicorns because they are coming off a 4-13 season,
right? The team's not that good.
Picking 3 overall and they still don't have a long-term answer at quarterback, and they didn't come away with really any big piece outside of guys that were already on their roster, and some of those were good signings, in my opinion. But in free agency, they didn't, you know, make the kind of splash that would get people excited. So people are very anxious here, I would say, among the fan base. And then when it comes to the team itself, have they been a little bit more open? Yeah, I think that's fair to say, given what we're comparing it to. But I also come at it from this point of view, which is these guys are all, you know, first-timers. When you're talking about Gerard, the two key players, Gerard Mayo and Elliott Wolf, Elliott Wolf's never been a general manager before. He's never been that one guy. He's had some really prominent roles in different front offices, but this is relatively new to him. And Gerard Mayo, for sure, this is new to him. But, you know, only joined the coaching ranks in 2019, and now all of a sudden he's filling in for his mentor and the greatest head coach of all time. So there is still a feeling out process is how I would put it in terms of how they interact with the media, what they feel they can and can't say. Gerard Mayo already has been very open about how he should not have said early in the offseason, no, we got money to burn. We got cash to burn. Let's go spend this. And, you know, then they obviously can't get Calvin Ridley, and they don't really land any other big name guys. And now it's okay. Now he feels like there's egg on his face. So everybody's still feeling things out, and the fan base is for sure, I think, very nervous about how this is all going to go.
Well said. I thought they were going to get Calvin Ridley, right? That's a talent that you'd want to overpay for if you're the Patriots. I mean, who is catching the ball for this team right now?
Well, you've got your Pop Douglas, who's a second-year slot receiver out of Liberty, who had a good year and ended up being, according to Pro Football Focus, in terms of yards after the catch, on a per-catch basis, ended up being pretty high up on that list. He's a tiny little guy who has been hurt a bunch already just as a rookie, so not somebody that I think they're trying to build around as a franchise player. But Kendrick Bourne's coming off a torn ACL. Juju Smith-Schuster's still on the roster. He's dealing with knee injuries. Hunter Henry, they did re-sign, and I think it's going to be a dependable option for them. But it's a tight end, and he's probably like a fringe top 10 guy at that position. So it's
KJ Osborne, I believe, right?
Yeah, but like overall, Ty, weapons-wise, you know, they do have Ramondre Stevenson. They signed Antonio Gibson, formerly of the Commanders. Weapons-wise, I think you could make a pretty easy argument it's bottom three in the league, if not bottom two, and then maybe they're right there with Carolina, which is just not where anybody wants to be, let's be honest.
Isn't that the fear, then, if you draft a quarterback? The world in which he steps into is not ideal. I don't know much about the offensive line, but I just have visions of Bryce Young in Carolina throwing to Adam Thielen as his number one. I mean, and Thielen, to his credit, had a hell of a season, but that's not what you're looking for. I mean, it was simplistic offense with Frank Reich until he got fired. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really matter who you draft if you don't have anything around him initially.
So that's been the big question, right? And our guy, Tom Curran, has been, for a while, I think he's moved off it a bit. I think we'd have to take his temperature. Like with him, you're never really quite sure where he stands day to day. So we'd have to bring him on the pod right now and get, I give him crap all the time when it comes to pre-draft takes, because we disagree a lot, which is great. We see the game itself, I think, especially on a week-to-week basis and matchups, we see it very similarly, which doesn't lead to all the fighting that they love for us to do here on television on NBC Sports Boston. So we fight a lot during draft season. It's great. But for a long time, he was a big proponent of trading down because of exactly what you just mentioned. The situation's horrible here. What are you doing talking about bringing a young quarterback onto this team? If you could trade down with Minnesota and get 11 and 23, they've got their two first-round picks. Maybe you get a future first-round pick. Maybe even get some a little bit more than that. Then you can start to build up your roster. Maybe you can get a tackle and a receiver in the first round this year. It's supposed to be pretty deep class at both spots. And even if you're outside of the mix for, you know, those top three wideouts at 11 and the top two or three tackles, you could still get a pretty good player at 11. Maybe you get Troy Fautanu from Washington at 11, who I think is maybe like big picture the best offensive lineman period in the class, because he could play he might be able to play all five positions, Tyler, is what I've been told. And he's tough, and you could start him at left tackle, and then you could go from there. And if it doesn't work out, you've got a great guard, or you've got a great right tackle. you know, maybe that's somebody you could get at 11. You maybe Brian Thomas from LSU, Brian Thomas Jr. is there at 23. Now you've got like a real X. You've got a left tackle option, which they need. And then next year can be your quarterback year. Or you can try to, maybe Dak Prescott becomes a free agent. Or, you know, like something falls from the quarterback tree. You know, you hit on a seventh round pick. Like you can't bank on that, but it worked out for the Niners. You know, like things happen sometimes at that position that you're not anticipating. So he has been a proponent of that theory. I've been more of the mind, if you think there's a franchise quarterback there, even if you think the roster sucks, you shouldn't pass on him, because you just never know when you'll be able to run into that kind of player again.
I go back and forth. I'm probably with you, but man, if I'm Elliott Wolf, Jerod Mayo, this is your first draft together. So, you know, you're going to have a long leash. I mean, Robert Kraft isn't going to be in a hurry to find the next people to run this franchise. I would be so tempted to just hold that pick for auction and see what you can get. Also, I want to give you credit too, Phil. I was just listening to a national sports talk radio. I don't want to say who it was because it's somebody I actually really like. And they could not even say the names of these prospects. If it was a name that was like too hard to pronounce, it was, oh, the Oregon State kid, you know, the kid from Penn State, the kid that's what you hear all the time. This, oh, the kid, that receiver from LSU. So credit to you for saying actual names. I like it.
Oh, just give me one opportunity to say BYU tackle Kingsley Suamataia, because that might be my favorite name in the draft. I don't, you know this too, talking to league people, they'll at times go down that road too, where it's like, they don't even say the kid. They just will say the school. So it's like, you know, you could take Washington at 11 and then you could get LSU at 23. You could, you know, like that's like the shorthand. And it's like, yeah, you just try to keep up as they're going through it.
I love the Will Ferrell sketch of W back in the day when he was like pronouncing all of the Middle Eastern names, like when he knew how to, and it was just, he was so proud of it. That was a great sketch.
Oh, so good. Yeah. It's a great time of year. We get so much content out of it. I mean, you know, it's never ending. And so even though they're at the third overall pick and you would think, well, okay, they're taking one of like three guys, maybe two now that everybody in their mother seems to think that Jane Daniels is for sure going to the Commanders at two overall. We are ringing so many TV shows and podcasts out of this, Ty, you'd be amazing. I want to ask you though, because you know, you bring up Elliott Wolf and what he might be enticed to do. Your perspective to me is valuable in that you've covered the Packers and he is of that, obviously, Ron Wolf Packers tree. He himself worked in Green Bay for many years. You know, he's tight with Scott McLuhan, and John Schneider is talking about, you know, practically babysitting Elliott Wolf, you know, in his early scouting days. And Ted Thompson, Elliott Wolf reveres Ted Thompson, and John Dorsey, he worked under John Dorsey in Cleveland. So having covered that particular franchise yourself, what would the Packers do in the Patriots situation, do you think?
I think that if Elliott Wolf has conviction on one of these quarterbacks, he's going to take that quarterback. I mean, his dad had the conviction on Brett Favre when he was with the New York Jets, famously, right? So the Falcons take Favre. I'd have one of the Jets wanted to take him. Who knows what that counterfactual does to the NFL if Favre is a Jet at that point, yeah, in 1992, not 2008.
Right.
So I know when he was with the Cleveland Browns, I was told Elliott was really the voice pushing for Baker Mayfield. I'm sure you heard the same thing. Like early in the process, he was all in on Baker Mayfield. I mean, at a point when I don't think Baker was really considered a number one overall pick by many people in NFL circles. So John Dorsey comes around to it. They kind of shocked everybody with that pick. So I don't know. Like, is there somebody that he has that Favre-like, Baker-like, in Ted's case, Aaron Rodgers, like conviction for that high in the draft? Maybe he's not going to tell us. Part of me thinks like he's not going to want to rush into it though. Like he knows what it takes to build a winning team. And I think he's going to be really realistic with this roster. I'm sure Elliott Wolf is looking at this roster and saying, holy hell, we've got so many holes to fill. Gut feeling more than anything. I mean, I don't know if he likes Drake May, Jane Daniels, but I feel like he'd trade down. If he's blown away by an offer, do you have any idea what it would take, Phil? Like, and who would be willing to move to three for a quarterback? Like, what could the Patriots realistically get for that draft pick?
What they could realistically get and what I think they are going to be asking for might be two different things. I think because of where they sit, because when you're picking three overall and you don't have a quarterback and the Patriots are now without Bill Belichick, you know, lording over the entire football operation for the first time in a long, long time, ownership is going to be in some way, shape, or form involved here. I'm not saying Robert Kraft is going to be making this pick or Jonathan Kraft is going to be making this pick. But that is a, you know, you're taking a quarterback at three potentially. That is a high, high level organizational call. And I think there's going to be enough pressure on everyone involved to take a quarterback there that if they were coaxed to move out, it would have to be overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like more than what the Niners gave up to move from 12 to 3 back in 2021 to draft Trey Lance, which was their first round pick that year, which they were at 12, obviously. So, but also their 2022 first rounder and their 2023 first rounder. So they traded their first for 3 years to get all the way up there. And I think there was even another pick added in there. Might've been a third round pick as well. Somewhere in that mix. I think you're talking even more than that. So can Minnesota offer that? They just picked up this extra first round pick. Can they offer two this year and a one next year? And a 1 2 years from now, like then maybe you're talking, okay, now there are enough questions with these guys. You know, there's no surefire lock, but there's enough in terms of uncertainty there. If it's Drake May and JJ McCarthy, that at that point you might say that we just have to do this and we'll find our quarterback eventually. You know, Jacoby Brissett can get us by for 2024 and we'll figure it out down the line. I think that's what you might be talking about. Would the Vikings be willing to do that? It would be an overpay relative to that Niners deal. So if they're looking at past history and what the market should bear, you know, in a deal like that, they might say, you guys are nuts. We're not doing that. Sorry. And hang up the phone. That whole interplay, especially again, with a first time GM. Now, Elliott Wolf's a GM caliber person. I want to make that clear. Like he's qualified for that job, but, and by the way, he's not even the GM yet. Like he's still the director of scouting, and we have reported here for months that they are going to do, Ty, and this is wild to me, but they are still going to do general manager interviews, it sounds, after the draft. So, you know, do they end up just keeping bizarre Elliott Wolf? That's my guess. Do they end up hiring somebody to help him out potentially? But it's just wild with the number of key decisions that need to be made this offseason that the person making the decisions and who has the final say, which Elliott Wolf does, isn't really guaranteed to be in that seat. You know, like on paper, guaranteed to be in that seat in a month. It's wild.
Which tells you he's got to take a quarterback. He's got to make his mark, right? And you know what?
You got to keep your boss happy, don't you?
Right.
Like if Robert Kraft's sitting there at over 80 years old and like he says at the owners meetings just a few weeks ago, I really hope we come away with a top rate young quarterback. All right. Well, if you want that gig, Elliott, like you're going to tell him no. You're going to say like, I know what you want, Robert. I know what you really need. Watch this. And, you know, trades down for, you know, a half dozen picks. Like, I don't know. That would take a lot of chutzpah to be able to pull that off.
Well, here's what I think Elliott Wolf gets to. Like, he's looking at the AFC. He sees Josh Allen. He sees Joe Burrow. He sees Patrick Mahomes. He sees CJ Stroud. He sees Lamar Jackson. Dudes, like, you've got to deal with all of these quarterbacks, all of these offenses. And when I think about Elliott and the way he carries himself, he's got confidence. He's got some swagger. He's unafraid. It just screams Drake May. It just screams Drake May. I mean, that is Drake May. There's some risk involved. I'm sure you've probably thought about and talked about Drake May, you know, triple the amount than anybody really should by now. But that's him, right? Like here is somebody, and I didn't mention Justin Herbert. He's kind of like a Herbert. Big, strong arm, mobile. Not necessarily accurate. It wasn't necessarily pretty last year. But, man, if you hit on Drake May, you can all of a sudden go toe-to-toe with these quarterbacks maybe 2-3 years from now. It's a gut feeling more than anything. I feel like Elliot Wolf would draft Drake May if he was there. Unless that offer is obscene. And he's got the security that he is the GM long term. And he really does want to build out a roster and take some time here. It makes sense because I know every GM says this. Every coach says this when they draft a quarterback that he's going to sit. And he ends up playing by week four. In this situation, it would be good for him to sit for X amount of weeks, if not the whole season. All of the greats have sat. I mean, Mahomes, Rodgers, it just pays to sit if you're not polished. And he is not polished. So, right, send Jacoby out to the Wolves for a year. Get better. Poor Jacoby, man. Sorry, he's been Jacoby. In some rough spots.
Great team.
There you go. There you go. Have at it. Have at it, man. Win us three or four games. And then build out the roster around Drake. Hey.
Yeah, I'm with you. And if I had to put money on it today, you know, gun to my head, who are they taking at three? And they're not trading out, I would say Drake May, for all the reasons you mentioned. He checks a lot of the boxes. We go through every year, we do what we call our prototypical Patriots series, which was sort of cut and dried for a long, long time because Bill was running the draft. And so for many, many years, we knew what Bill wanted at receiver, even if it didn't work out. We knew what Bill wanted at quarterback, at guard, at tackle, defensive tackle, et cetera, et cetera. And so we had these prototypes at every single position. We go through, you know, who was available in the draft, and we'd lay them all out in our series. And this year it's been a little different because now we're working off of this Ron Wolf executive tree, at least on the offensive side. I think defensively, because Mayo is going to be running it, DeMarcus Covington, who's a Belichick guy, they're going to be looking for some of the same things. But offensively, now we're working off this Packers model. And it has been interesting to me to go back and look at all the first and second round quarterbacks. There's not that many, quite honestly. First and second round quarterbacks, obviously, they hit big with Favre and Rodgers. But Jordan Love, you know, Scott McLuhan drafts Alex Smith one overall back in the day. Reggie McKenzie drafts Derek Carr in the second round. Brian Brohm is somewhere in there as a second round pick of the Packers. So not all hits, but a lot of hits. Patrick Mahomes for John Dorsey, you know, like it's as big as it gets in terms of hits. Baker Mayfield is sort of the one outlier in terms of size, Ty. Mm-hmm. But he does have this thing that Packers people have tended to seemingly value, which is the ability to throw on the move. All of those guys I just mentioned can create a little bit outside of structure. And I would say with Baker, just going back, talking to some people, but also just going back and looking at the reporting and watching Elliot Wolf in a press conference in 2018 after day two of the draft, and he's being asked about Baker and his role and the evaluation of Baker Mayfield for the Browns that year. He just absolutely fell in love with the intangibles for Baker and the confidence and the winning quotient that he brought to Oklahoma. And I wonder if he sees any of that in J.J. McCarthy. Who's won more than J.J. McCarthy? And everything you hear about J.J. McCarthy is not only is he smart, but he's an alpha. He was the leader of that team that had all those great players that sent, it felt like, two dozen people to the combine a couple months ago. And even if the number of the volume of work as a passer isn't on tape the way it is for Caleb Williams or Drake May or Jaden Daniels, boy, you watch him on third and long, and he might be the most efficient of all four. And yeah, his traits aren't amazing, but neither were Baker Mayfield's. He was in a draft with Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, and Elliot Wolf said, no, still give me that. Give me the short guy. Give me the short guy because he's a badass. And I wonder if he sees that in J.J. McCarthy, and I wonder if that would lead him to kind of, I think, surprise a lot of people and take McCarthy if he's sitting there at three.
That's a great point, Phil. I think that badassery, the fearlessness, that's what Elliot Wolf will be looking for. You know, Scott McLuhan, he was in that Browns, in the draft meetings, right? He was a part of that process as a consultant. He loved Baker Mayfield. I don't know if there's anybody on the planet that loved Baker Mayfield more than Scott McLuhan. We talked about it a couple of years ago. So how does that manifest with this crew of quarterbacks? I'm thinking Drake May. Maybe it is J.J. McCarthy. I don't, we've talked about J.J. McCarthy on the pod with Jim Monas, and he made the point that when you really study his film, and I'm sure you've looked at it more than me, he does make those big boy throws. Like, because my instinct says, no, this is another Mac Jones. He's surrounded by five stars. They're not asking him to do too much, but you know, Mac Jones couldn't really move or create. It was Papa Shot, right, at the arcade in the back of the bar. That's not J.J. McCarthy. I mean, he made some difficult throws, right? So, A, what do you like about J.J. McCarthy? And B, what would the Patriot fan reaction be? I don't know if it would be that pretty, because I don't know if it's that nuanced.
I think, you know what's funny is I think fans have so bought in on the idea of Drake May at this point that they see the upside. They see the comparisons to Justin Herbert and Josh Allen. And, you know, boy, we got a guy here who, if molded properly, could potentially be a top five quarterback. That's what we need to compete with Mahomes and Allen and Lamar. Whereas JJ, while I think his traits are good enough, they're just not the same, right? They're just not to that level. His arm's good. It's not great. You know, he's a good athlete. He's not Jaden Daniels, you know? So I think for me, what I like about him is that he is, when you put the whole package together between, you know, his ability to run, he was, I think, one of the quickest quarterbacks we've ever seen at the combine in terms of his agility work. And you can see that on his tape, and his arm is good enough that in the right situation, I think he could be really good. Like, I think if you dropped him, this might not be saying much, but like, I think if you dropped him onto one of these ready-made Shanahan-style offenses, whether it's Minnesota, great weapons around him already, and a good offensive line, or obviously San Francisco, that's a great roster right now. Like, if you put him in one of those situations, I think he'd have a really, really good quarterback pretty much right away. It's just, that's not the Patriots. And what would worry me about McCarthy in New England is, you know, especially the line, you know, the weapons are obvious, but the line, McCarthy to me, again, I think his arm is good and it's better than Mac Jones's, but I see Drake May make throws with defensive tackles like hanging off of him. You know what I mean? Or his feet are a complete mess. He's off 1 foot. He's off no feet. He's making jump throws. He's throwing with his left hand. He's doing all sorts of ridiculous stuff because he has to. Whereas I think you see the best of J.J. McCarthy's arm when he has the space to really be able to step into it, and his feet are firmly planted in the ground, and he can let it rip. I've seen him throw off platform and on the run, but I think when he's sort of under pressure, it's just not as good as somebody like May. So I would still go with May over McCarthy if both those guys are there. But I get the fascination with McCarthy because of the athleticism, because of the winning, because of the intangible stuff. And he's only 21. I mean, they're both 21. He's even younger than Drake May, though, Ty. Yeah. So, like, do you look at some of these things that might be drawbacks? Okay, he's sort of a one-speed thrower. Everything's fastball speed. Maybe you could teach him a little bit in terms of how to layer it over the linebacker and in front of the safety, or how to put some air under a deep ball so a guy can just run under it. Like, I think those are things you could probably teach a guy, and maybe by the time he's Jaden Daniels' age, you know, we're talking about a much different player. So it's – I get it. I still would be pretty surprised if they went that way, but I'm trying to see it from Elliott Wolff's eyes and remind myself, this is the guy who thought Baker Mayfield was the best quarterback in a class with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
Hey, let's let that play out.
Am I seeing it the right way? Out.
No.
What's that?
I said, we got to let that play out still.
We do. We do. Right. Are we thinking there's a chance Baker Mayfield ends up having the better career than Josh Allen?
Hey, I'm pretty pro Baker. No, I mean, it's Josh Allen, but
hey, he had a great year last year, and Josh Allen just lost a pretty important weapon to that Bills offense. So we'll see.
Hey, before we lose you, I know you have a debate up at NBC Sports Boston, right, with Albert Breer, Tom Curran. So everybody should check that out. But who are you debating for? If Phil Perry is the general manager of New England Patriots, what are you doing at the top of this draft?
So we do so much debating, the three of us. So like, Lord knows what's going to come out of any of our mouths once we get together. But
what a trio, by the way. That is a hell of a trio. I don't quick Tom Curran story. When I was an intern covering the Packers, the summer of Favre, when Favre was trying to come back, take his job, Aaron Rodgers is the court. So I'm just in college, like a college sophomore. I'm there interning for the Sean O'Leader in the Packer Report. And I'm in the back of the scrum. You know, I don't know what the hell is going on. I actually had hair at the time, a lot of it, not quite receding yet. And Tom Curran, I mean, I just had met him on the sideline of practice, introduced myself. He doesn't know me, shit from Shiola. He sees me, goes, Tyler, and he reaches back and he grabs my recorder for me. And then he holds it out with his in front of Aaron Rodgers, the first time he spoke when Brett was trying to reclaim his job. So just the kind of guy Tom is. And Albert's obviously A-plus as well.
Yes.
Both awesome, awesome dudes. And I am very lucky that I get to talk to both those guys as much as I do. What was interesting about our conversation that we had today was we talked about all three of the non-Caleb Williams top four quarterbacks. And we kind of gave what our reactions would be if the Patriots were to draft him at three overall. And we'll be able to do this in real time because I think we're all going to be live on our air as this is happening in a couple of weeks. But the way I put it was, the one that the move that would get the most support from me, because I think it's the big swing that you need to take, would be Drake May. The one pick that I would have some reservations about, but ultimately I would say right move still, would be to take Jaden Daniels. I just worry a little bit about his frame tie and his ability to stay on the field and his play style and his willingness to scramble.
Yeah.
The elbow, I'm actually not worried about the elbow. As strange as that looks, I'm not as worried about the elbow.
That was a funky elbow, man.
And the move that I would call a mistake, and I'll you know, hold myself to this if it happens on draft night, is Patriots drafting J.J. McCarthy. I think it's just not enough. I don't think he has enough in terms of traits. And I think Ty ultimately, and again, we'll see. He's still relatively young. He's only drafted in 2018. But I think ultimately that's in some ways, granted the Cleveland situation, not a great situation while he's there. But he just doesn't have, if he's in the AFC still right now, does he have the tools necessary to compete with the best quarterbacks in football, Baker Mayfield? I would say no. And I think their play styles are a little bit different, but I think J.J. McCarthy is sort of under that umbrella of a quarterback you can win with, but you might not win because of. Can he be the engine? Can he be the superstar? Can he be the superhero that you need to be at that position to win at the highest levels? And I am having a hard time envisioning that with McCarthy, whereas I can see it with May. So whatever happens, you know, I'm sure we'll make fools of ourselves on NBCSportsBox.com and we'll have some fun with it. But it'll carry us for the next 2 weeks, Ty. We'll have no problem talking about it, as you can hear in my voice as I continue to ramble on about these quarterbacks that I've done nothing but talk about for the last 2 months.
It's going to be fun. I mean, you had Tom Brady locked in for 20 years. I mean, this is new territory as a beat writer, as a beat speaker. You've got to love it.
Oh, and it's a little, yeah, it's a little different than debating, like, what are they going to do at 32? Do they take the defensive tackle or do they take the guard? It's like, you know, they
take
you
N'Keal Harry
weeks too, but yeah, or take N'Keal Harry, or do you pass on Lamar Jackson to take both Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel, which is what they did in 2018. Don't do that.
Got to let that one play out too. Got to let that one play out. Bill, you're phenomenal. Fantastic insight as always. Thanks so much for carving out a little time here on the Go Long podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, buddy. Always fun. Let's do it again soon.
No doubt about it.